You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back, joined by my colleague at the Center for Security Policy, Fred Flights, a career intelligence professional of great renown and great contributions, as a matter of fact, both for about 20 years at the Central Intelligence Agency as an analyst specializing in the rogue states and their nonproliferation violations and ambitions. His work as the chief of staff to Ambassador John Bolton at the State Department, and not least his service as a member of the professional staff of the Intelligence Committee in the House of Representatives, have all qualified him greatly for his present role as the Senior Vice President for Policy and Programs at the Center for Security Policy. Fred Flights, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Good to be here, Frank.
Fred, you are as ever prolific on so many different fronts. One that really caught my eye was National Review Online today about the politicization of intelligence that is now much in evidence in connection with Donald Trump's being briefed by intelligence officers. But this is a subject that you've dealt with for a long time, both inside the belly of the beast and from the outside now. Talk a bit about the problem and how it has manifested itself in the past and its implications for today.
Well, it's an interesting story. Mr. Trump has been criticized for saying he doesn't trust the U.S. intelligence community and he's skeptical about their analysis. But I know from my 25-year career, there have been problems with really profound bias within the agency, at least dating back to Reagan. And my research shows it goes back far, much, much beyond that. And we remember during the George W. Bush administration, efforts to undermine his counterterrorism policies with constant leaks. In fact, I mentioned my NRO piece that the Wall Street Journal ran an op-ed called the CIA insurgency because the efforts in 2004, the leaking against him was so bad and seemed so obvious to try to undermine Bush's reelection.
And to the extent that this problem has not only crossed the line from the business of intelligence, but into the business of politics, really is a transgression of a very serious concern, both with respect to the job that the intelligence community is supposed to do and the interference that it can have in the political business. Fred, when you've seen this slop over of intelligence professionals engaging in, interference with not just the policymaking business, but even our political affairs, as someone who has been in that business yourself, I know this is an affront, but what are its implications in terms of our security?
Well, our president and senior policymakers, they have to have intelligence analysts who call things honestly, call them like they see them. They shouldn't be caving their analysis to tell the policymakers what they want to hear or to write analysis to stop policies they disagree with. We need them to call it straight so the policymakers can make the policy. That's their job. Intelligence analysts inform policy. They don't make it.
Fred, one of the most egregious examples of this, which I think you've done as much to chronicle as anybody over the years, was the cooking the books, for want of a better term, by the intelligence community keepers of the national intelligence estimates. Namely, the one that was done in 2007, as I recall, that suggested that Iran had given up its nuclear weapons ambitions. Would you talk a little bit about that as a sort of case study of this problem of politicized intelligence and how it's translated into the mess that is today's American policy towards Iran and its bomb?
Well, this was an estimate that came out in 2007 that said that Iran had halted its nuclear program in 2003. And this is at a key time when the Bush administration was trying to ramp up efforts to stop Iran's pursuit of nuclear weapons. I was on the House Intelligence Committee at the time, and the intelligence behind this did not add up. It was clearly a politicized estimate, and it was written by two former State Department employees who didn't like Bush administration policy, who got jobs in the intelligence community. It was politicization pure and simple, and that's what former CIA Director Jim Schlesinger said. He referred to this as stupid intelligence. He thought it was so awful.
And I think we're still reaping the whirlwind from that, as we are, Fred Flights, from another act of, I think, inappropriate politicization, namely the exploitation of a willing media by this so-called echo chamber that the Obama administration's Ben Rhodes boasted of recently. He's, of course, the deputy national security advisor to the president. Would you talk a little bit about what we've learned of late about all of that and the role played in it by the Plowshares Fund and, well, somebody who reports for the Washington Post?
Well, in a May 2016 New York Times profile, Ben Rhodes, who works for the National Security Council, bragged about how he established a media echo chamber, which he used to manipulate the news media to sell the nuclear deal with Iran. And he admitted that he used false narratives. Well, the recent, and we know that part of this echo chamber was an organization called the Plowshares Fund. This is a liberal organization funded by George Soros, and they were spending millions of dollars to basically buy experts to manipulate the media. Well, recently we found out that a Stanford professor named Alan Weiner wrote an op-ed saying that this $400 million payment, which everyone is calling ransom to free the U.S. prisoners who were being held by Iran, was not ransom, but was in fact the repayment of a U.S. debt to Iran, even though the Justice Department tried to stop this payment because they said it was ransom. This article was taken right out of White House talking points, and I think it is an example, at least, of the White House using the echo chamber. And we also know that there are ties between the Plowshares Fund and this Stanford professor. And I think it is really corrupting the political process when an organization like this is buying experts to influence the national debate.
And, of course, this isn't the only example of it. The Plowshares Fund had also put in, by some estimates, between $700,000 and $1 million, I'm told, to essentially gain influence with the National Public Radio and promote there its experts, its echo chamber, its narratives about this this very dangerous deal with Iran, which you've described as the Obama bomb deal in a very important new book from the Center for Security Policy. And by the way, folks, as with all of our products, I commend to you Fred Fleitz's new book about the national security fraud of this Obama bomb deal, which you can download for free at securefreedom.org. Fred, just in closing, you've described Plowshares Fund as a liberal organization. It seems it's really a radical left one, and we now have had, as a result of an intelligence breakthrough, if you will, this treasure trove of George Soros Foundation emails, proof that the Plowshares Fund got money to suppress critics of the deal with the mainstream media. Can you talk about the kind of impact that campaign seems to have had on the debate, notably on the efforts of our friend Representative Mike Pompeo and others of us who opposed that deal?
I think it had a significant effect on the debate about the Iran deal, because experts were being bought and they weren't revealing that they were receiving payments from this organization to oppose the nuclear deal. And concerning National Public Radio, Congressman Pompeo believes that this money is why conservatives were being kept off the air, but people who support the Iran deal were being featured on National Public Radio. It was a corruption of the public debate over this national security issue.
And I think, as you do, Fred Fleitz materially contributed to the approval, effectively, of this defective Obama bomb deal. Fred, as always, we appreciate your time today and the great work you have done for our country and continue to do now out of the intelligence community at the Center for Security Policy. I hope you'll, of course, keep it up and come back to us again next week. Next up, Daniel Horowitz joins us from Conservative Review. We'll be talking about the suicidal immigration policy we've been pursuing and whether we'll change course before it's too late. That and more straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.